Welcome to Survival Mode Disrupted, the podcast for those who are done performing, done people pleasing, and done living life on autopilot. I'm your host, Leticia, the Survival Mode Disruptor, and this is where we create disruptive, unapologetic transformations for those who are ready to exit survival mode and reclaim their power. Every episode is your permission slip to burn the rule book, break the cycle, and finally build a life that feels like yours. So let's disrupt everything that's holding you back and start living life on your own terms. This is your trigger warning. This podcast is raw. It is real, and it doesn't sugarcoat what it means to survive trauma, abuse, mental health battles, or even the aftermath of living in survival mode for too damn long. What you hear on Survival Mode Disrupted includes unfiltered stories, graphic details, and a vulnerable truth that may trigger some of the audience. Please prioritize your emotional safety. If something feels too heavy, pause. Breathe. Come back when you're ready or not at all. Your healing is yours to honor. These episodes are based on lived experience, not therapy sessions or clinical advice. Listening does not replace mental health treatment or constitute a coach-client relationship. If you're in crisis, please seek immediate help from a licensed professional or contact your local emergency services. This space is built with care, but it's also built for truth and built for disruption. Take what you need, leave the rest, and most of all, trust yourself. If this podcast speaks to your soul, you don't have to do this work alone. Feel free to join our free Facebook community for high-achieving women ready to break cycles and heal out loud. Join us at Disrupting Survival Mode on Facebook, or grab the book that started this movement, Exiting Survival Mode, a raw step-by-step guide to help you identify, release, and rebuild from the survival patterns that have been keeping you stuck. Hello, 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 and welcome back to another episode of Survival Mode Disrupted. I am your host, Leticia, the Survival Mode Disruptor, and today we have Georges with us. Georges, why don't you introduce yourself?
Yes, and thank you, Leticia, and thank you for having me on your show. Yeah, my name is Georges Cordova. I'm originally from Caracas, Venezuela, South America. My parents, they migrated from Greece and Spain after World War II. And that's where I grew up. And that's where I get my name, Georges. I'm half Greek and, you know, it's a big name over there. Although the spelling is in French, but I don't know. But that's my name. In Venezuela and the Spanish countries, they call me Jorge. But my legal name is Georges. And today, I'm a holistic health coach. I transitioned from being a chief technology officer back at in 2017. I was 57 years old after surviving a 10-year and 10-surgery battle with advanced cancer, melanoma, with 8 brain tumors and 2 of them not operable. Pharmaceuticals almost destroyed my body, so on year 8, after my first brain surgery, I decided, after they gave me these pills, which, by the way, they were $1,000 each capsule. It was oral chemo that would penetrate my brain. And so that's basically, I don't want to go ahead. I'm sorry, Leticia, but I decided to go the natural route in my survival experience. And when you're talking in the title of your podcast, if you allow me, I'll stop where and go back to the beginning and tell you the story of my cancer and actually my Greek side of the family. I saw cancer. I saw my grandfather, all this, the Greek side of the family, passed of cancer. And I was 4 years old and I remember this. Plus, Mediterranean people from Spain, France, Italy, Greece, Turkey, Lebanon, we're very, very emotional people. So I remember the tragedy, you know, Papuli, my grandpa dying. And 2 years later, I was still under 10 years old. My grandma's sister passed of cancer. And then later on, not too long ago, after that, another sister of hers passed of cancer in Greece, and so forth. Then my godfather, we're Christian Catholics, passed from cancer. Then my mother's brother passed from cancer, and by then I'm already 30 or so. And then my dear mother passed of cancer. Different types of cancer. And by the way, cancer is not a hereditary disease. We found with epigenetics that it's not the case. All disease, chronic diseases, start in acidic bodies, and they're all emotional. Amazing. In my case, when I realized that, I was reading, and I'll just go back first. But then three weeks, Leticia, after my mother passed of cancer, my kids, five kids, we were blessed with five kids, four boys, and Claudia, our youngest, they're all in their 30s now. But they were young at that time. And 3 weeks after they have gone through the trauma of losing their dear grandmother that was always with them, I was diagnosed with a very aggressive form of cancer 3 weeks later. But I always feared the disease. If you remember there's 13 rules of the mind. I'm a hypnotherapist. Actually, I studied with a fellow country lady of yours, Marisa Peer, rapid transformational therapy. But I did learn from the get-go because of my tennis background. I used to play tennis. I tried to play pro. I had an injury and no sponsor, so I had to stop. But I learned so many things as a junior, mental rehearsing and many things that I used when I got sick. And especially because this thing was very aggressive. Melanoma at the time was really fairly unknown, very, very well known in Australia and other countries, but in the US, we had no mindset to prevent this disease, even though we only thought it was because of UV exposure, which it can get you sick. But what triggers the stuff again is an acidic body, and mainly it's emotional stuff. And emotional clutter, we actually build through the years, and we don't even know, but we're producing acidity, cortisol, when we remember things, or we're still holding a grudge for years. But for me, it was at one point when I got the diagnosis, I couldn't believe it. No one is ready to hear that they have cancer, but I wasn't surprised, because I always thought, man, it's gonna come and get me or my sister Sophia. And so it got me. But as I was going through the emotional roller coaster of denial, no, I gotta get another biopsy, this is not right. What's gonna happen to the kids, five young kids and my wife and my career, and this is not happening. Suddenly it must be my competitive spirit, because you know, tennis, you either lose or win. There's no tie or no teamwork. You know, you either have to beat somebody up or they beat you. So I had to learn to compete, and that makes a different type of person. When you're doing that, you might be called self-centered or whatever, but at one point, pacing, like I say, I was a chief technology officer, pacing inside of my office, I just said, you know what? No, I'm going to beat the odds, and I'm going to be the very first family member who survives this monster. And I went on my way, and I had from the get-go this attitude, very aggressive form of cancer. Just to let you know, the four people that started with me, we started the same day, none of them made it. And so I started to also having some guilt, like survival guilt, to say, why me? Why I'm here? But then I realized something, that as I was going through surgeries and treatments and then remission, recurrent surgery at retreatment. And all along, even though I had insurance co-payments, it's very expensive to get sick in the US, very expensive. And we were both doing very good, my wife and I, but still 6, 7 years, on my 6th year, we were tapping into retirement accounts. We had some college funds for the kids, you know. I mean, the right family, trying, working hard, you know, doing it, everything. And we're obviously missionary work, where I always believed in helping people. And now that I look back, Leticia, I can see that my surviving experience was a blessing, because God gave me the chance to sing the song I was born to sing. My purpose is to helping people and giving hope. I mean, instead of saying, oh yeah, I had cancer, thank God I survived and I went on my way. For me, it was a message. And I just said, you know, I need to let people know that we can heal from the inside out. We got ourselves sick. We have lifestyles or whatever it was. We produce acidity in the body, maybe experiences. As a hypnotherapist, I'm also a nutritionist and holistic health coach. But as a hypnotherapist, there's so many traumas that we have that we get. We actually, even from our mother's wombs, it could start. And as youngsters, when we see something going on in the family, we actually assimilate that as our fault. That's one thing that happens when our birthrights are interrupted. And so many things happened. And you know, I thought I had a great childhood, but when I became a client for hypnotherapists, I had so many breakthroughs of things that really were holding me back, and things that actually got me sick. Obviously, emotions of losing my uncle, and then 4 years later, my mother. It was heavy, you know, for me. It was my dear mom. My kids loved her. But when I look back, I was really managing my fears and quote-unquote trauma with faith. I've always been a person of faith, and I kept saying, this can't happen. You blessed me with 5 kids. This is for a reason. Why me? You know, if anybody in the audience is Christian, remember Job in the Old Testament. The guy was such a God servant, and he could not understand. He says, why me? You know, I keep getting sick, and what is the test here? And so you could get frustrated with many things, and but I always said to myself, this can't be. This is for a reason. This just can't be. I was a good person. I never hurt anyone. You know, if anything, you know, I was hurt as a youngster, and so I kept going through the years. On year 6, already by then I already had 7 surgeries. And thank God for the surgeries. Like I said before, things were operable, except those 2 back lobe tumors in my brain that were growing slowly but surely, but they couldn't hit them with gamma knife, and they couldn't open in that area. So they say, well, let's just watch them. And so many things happened that I explained in my book. It became a bestseller. I wrote it first in English. And I launched it, and it became an Amazon bestseller day one. And then on St. George's Day, on April 23rd of 2021, a few months later, I launched it in my native language, Spanish, and it became bestseller too. And I haven't promoted the book when I signed a new client, or now with this rollout group that I'm doing for prevention of disease. I give one of my books. I sign it to any clients. If I have 100, I send 100. For me, it's all about people need to know that there are alternatives to healing. And people, you know, when we think the traumas, and you know, you have your experiences, amazing what you told me, by the way, I command you, you know, not everybody ends up like you and I. And so it's our it's like in your case, it's your responsibility to send messages like you're doing as a podcast, a host. And in my case, it's just speaking in public, both in Spanish and English. I'm invited, and just sharing the message, sharing my story, but also sharing practical knowledge that people already kind of know. It's simple stuff, but it's not easy because we need to be held accountable. And also because one of the rules of the mind, there's 13 rules of the mind, but one of them, and this I learned with Marisa Pierre from London, is that the mind goes to what is familiar, even when suffering. So I was an example. When I was diagnosed, I was just crazy looking for a good, quote unquote, oncologist. No other options in my head or in my heart. Because I grew up, I was taught and I saw it in my family that it had to be chemotherapy when it really doesn't have to be, or radiotherapy. And if you want to know more about this, you could actually go to the Eastern countries and see, first of all, the number of people that get inflicted with cancer is very low because of lifestyle and also dieting and different other things. But part of my story, when I had my first of four brain surgeries, you may get to see the scar. I don't know if you can see, there's a few. But I remember getting these pills, and it was 5 days, Monday through Friday, take a break on the weekend, and then again. On my second Monday, I thought it was going to give me a heart attack. I really had this reaction where my wife wasn't home, the kids were in school, and I was alone, and I really thought, well, this is it. I mean, my heart was just pumping so hard. I had an anxiety attack. I was all over the roof because, I mean, it was just crazy. And so at that time, because of my connection with Jesus, especially as a man and his teachings and his miracles, I started to think, man, I got to stop this. This is not working for me. This is gonna kill me. I'm tired, I'm frustrated, I'm broke, and I cannot live my life like that. Surgery, treatment, remission, a new treatment, and all along getting more debt and more debt because my insurance capped out. And so now you have nowhere to go. And but with a leap of faith, I decided to take the holistic health route to conquer my disease. And this past July 12th was my 13th year free of cancer. But thank you. And it was a battle. It was, it was traumatic, especially when they were going to tell you that, I mean, it was going to be, let's say, an 8-hour surgery in my brain. They were going to saw it up. And there's many things that you can probably, it's a short book, but people love it because like they say, it's like talking to a friend that went through this stuff. And yeah, there is trauma, and it lingers a little bit right after. But going the natural route was a blessing. And I can say that, God sent me angels in the form of humans. There were so many people, Leticia, that I had no idea they would step forward to help us out financially. It was a family of seven, four kids that were not in the capacity to work yet. The oldest was 14. And legally here in the States, you can actually do some part-time work when you're 16. But we were just there with one income. At one point, I was able, for the first 2-3 years, I was able to transition from my position, and we did a contract that I could help the new CTO from home, and that was for 2 years. But after that, I had to really scramble for additional income. And but God was good, the angels came around, and it's when I really learned that we must learn how to receive. And when I say that, and the miracles happen, I'm actually starting a new book, my third book. I'm finishing my second book. The first one is titled Beating the Odds, My Journey Through Holistic Health to conquer advanced cancer. The second one is stop and share and smell the roses. People don't have time, like we were saying. Stop and smell the roses. Enjoy this beautiful planet, Mother Earth, whatever. I was seeing a movie, and it was filmed in Ireland. Beautiful. When you see a movie in Australia or even in South America, whatever, this planet is beautiful. Mother Earth is amazing, and all we do is abuse her, and not thinking that we have generations after us. But that's another story. In my story, I can say that what I do today was definitely what I was born to do, and for me, it's not a job. And the reason I'm doing this group now is because I get to help more people. One-on-one is just, I'm limited. And thank God I met this coach and said, don't do a cohort group, because it's hard to create one like that. Do a roll-on, kind of like people going to an airport. You go out at one time, I go on another one, we go to the same place. But that's me. And you know, my wife as a caregiver, amazing. I dedicate my book to her. The kids were amazing. I asked them when I was writing the book what they were going through in their minds. Claudia was 7 and the oldest was 14. And then the three boys in the middle were 11, and the twins were 10, 16 months apart. So young kids, that added more to my anxiety and you know, just saying, oh my goodness, what's my wife, if you're gonna take me now. But here's what I think of survival is, we all have this innate warrior spirit. We all are from the divine as well. We have to acknowledge, just like a wave is part of the ocean, we are part of God. And if we know that, and we know that miracles exist, I had a 4% chance of survival when my meds went to the brain. My daughter's godparents, both him and her, they're doctors. I asked him to come one day when the kids were at school, I know, and he topped it into the New England Journal of Medicine. And I said, I want to know who my opponent is, looking at as my toughest opponent as a tennis player. And he is Italian Venezuelan, so again, you know, from the Mediterranean, 6'4", he started to get teary eyes, and I say, what's wrong, Steve? He goes, look, you read it. And he said that my diagnosis was 4% chance of survival over 3 months. So I said to him, hey, why can't I be one of those four? In fact, I will be one of those four. The survival mode is more your attitude, it's more your faith, knowing that that you're certain that you're gonna come out victorious, but you know that you're gonna do that because you're taking action, and there is a source bigger than all of us that will help me as long as I take action. So I didn't play the patient role. I always got there, and I saw the energy of fear, people waiting for appointments. So I learned with the time to tell the nurse assistant, the doctor assistant, I said, look, Christina, I'm gonna be in the garden. When it's my turn, beep me. There were beepers at that time still. Just beep me and I come up to my end. So I wouldn't sit there and absorb the fear of everybody else. And so that's me. Surviving for me is just resilience, is faith, is seeing that there's no going back. You just gotta keep going forward. And then a very important part of surviving is surrendering. The moment that I surrendered and I said, Lord, it's up to you. Nobody here is helping out. This is not working for me. So I surrendered and I said, look, give me some more time to see my kids grow up, finish high school, just being, continue to be a good father, a good, better husband, better Christian. Just give me a chance if it's your will, because really it gets to that point. But what happens in that mode, it's not like you're gonna sit there in your boat and let it drift. You surrender, but you know, you gotta continue to row, get out of that storm. Yeah.
Ooh, Georges. So much to take away from your story and just the way that you presented it, right? And I want to start with what you said about us. We've gone through a lot and we have chosen to take our journey to help other people. And whenever I consider self-actualization and the Maslow's pyramid of self-actualization, it always comes back to that level of gratitude. Like, I feel like whenever I talk to people who have gone through massive things and they mention gratitude, I'm like, yes, here is another self-actualized person. It's not having it all figured out. But I think once you get to that level of gratitude, yes, I think that's when it changes everything for yes you. And there's this reconciliation that, yeah, I had a tough journey, but my journey wasn't just for me. Now I'm in a position to help someone else.
Yes.
And we gladly do so. Like, prior to recording, I was telling you how passionate I am about these conversations and why. Because had I heard a podcast like this back then, my life would have changed tremendously. Mm-hmm. So I want to start with that. And I celebrate your 13 years. I clap for you while you said it off camera. But I just want to celebrate that, because so much in your journey, you could have given up. And I loved how you talked about, you know, I'm a tennis player. I was looking at it as, this is my biggest opposition, and I'm not going to sit by and just let it whoop my butt. Like, I'm whooping it. And I love that. What I also loved about your story was your decision to not be a victim of your circumstance, right? And that's such a powerful decision. A lot of people go through the healing process. And I've said this previous on this podcast, I have had two people very close to me battle cancer. And there was such a stark difference in their perspective of it. And it also told a very big tale in their journey through. Like, one of the people I found out on my 40th birthday, and I was absolutely devastated with that news. So much so that I was distracted. I couldn't enjoy my day. And they were just like, let me tell you something. I am not dying from this. I made a decision as soon as I heard that this is what it was, that I am going to beat it. And I then sat and watched as she dug into neuroscience, as she dug into the power of positive thought. Like, she filled herself up with positivity, and not in a toxic way, right? Like, she still had to deal with her journey. But on the flip side of that, I also watched somebody who was very negative about their journey. And the two different cancers, two different treatments, but the journey for them was very rough. And I, now that I understand the power of our thoughts and the power of our decisions, I then I'll sit back and wonder, was that journey as difficult as it was because the person was so defeated by their circumstance, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that goes beyond just cancer healing. We see it every day. We all face trauma. We all deal with trauma. Yes. But the way that we choose to deal with it has a direct response in what our journeys look like. And yes, I think when we can get to a place of understanding that things aren't happening to us, they are happening for us, it changes the landscape entirely.
Yeah, absolutely. There's we could do a whole episode on gratitude. It's the more you are grateful for something, the more you get of that. And I have a protocol where I help my clients as a holistic health, where you treat the body, the emotions, the mindset, and the spirituality, rather than just the symptom of the disease. You treat the whole thing because really, like I have to share this, but one of my employees, I was still a CTO going through before I did my transition into health and wellness, and she gave me a book on emotional intelligence. In that book, there is a chapter on forgiveness, and it was like it was written for me because I needed to clear some clutter there. I knew that I hurt, a couple of girls in college, a relationship, like being so immature. And that really, I mean, the way I am, I said, man, I wish I could talk to them. Obviously, with technology, I was able to, it was two ladies and a guy that I really had no business hurting them. And they didn't feel hurt, but I thought that, and it's your reality. And then also I looked up for some people that actually hurt me. And you know what was amazing? And I'll tell you about the gratitude here, but what is amazing is that none of these guys that hurt me remembered. And I was carrying this venom for decades. And that's one lesson that I learned there, right? They just got, man, I'm sorry, Georges, I really am. I mean, maybe it was childish. I don't even remember, but I do ask you for forgiveness. When that whole thing, I ended up talking to them for, I felt like a piano left off my shoulders. And then I did the same thing with these other folks that I thought I hurt. One remembered, they forgave me. And again, and I do have a chapter in my book that I titled it Forgiveness is Healing. And that helped me heal. That helped me. As a matter of fact, when I did the hardest one, it was three things: forgiving myself, the toughest one, but you know what happened to me? And for the audience to know, I stopped having recurrences. I told you all diseases are emotional. The moment that I clear my emotional clutter, because I surrender and I humble myself, I said, man, I'm not perfect. I created this thing on me, even though I was an athlete and still are. But so it stopped. And then another thing that happened that was, I always, with somebody since I was little, I think God gave me this particular talent to help people. And that particularly the ones that maybe had less than me. And we were not rich. My parents were migrants and they were really working hard. I saw that too. But they managed to put us in school and go to a club and learn tennis. And we had ball boys. Can you imagine? We had little kids that were ball boys, poor kids. And we were getting allowances to go to the restaurant and get snacks. And I would convince my buddies, my friends, to go to where these kids were gathered in the club. They had their own place, to give them the change, so they can go after work and eat, and I was always somebody that was grateful for something that people gave me. But here's something that is very important, and I think if people understand this, any chronic disease, any trauma, not only from disease, as you know, there are so many, even accidents, but we could go to sexual abuse or psychological abuse, physical abuse, any trauma. If we learn to receive, many people don't receive because when they ask, subconsciously, they don't feel worth receiving. It's much easier to give than to receive. And I tell you, if you open your heart, and this is a message that I'm not somebody that quotes the Bible left and right, but I remember this one by the Apostle John in Revelations, where he says, hey, I'm knocking on the door. If you hear and open it, then I will come in and we'll have communion together. There is no doorknob on the outside. We have the doorknob of our hearts. If we open our hearts to receive, and let's say you, Leticia, you came to my house with a lentil soup, you know, to feed the people, my kids, and my wife was coming from work and having to cook now for six kids, because I would feel that. I would feel somebody coming in and saying, hey, we brought you this. And I could hear that. And I kid you not, I would feel healing because I was open to receive. And that's how miracles happen. I do have a chapter on giving and receiving in the book. When you give somebody something from the heart and the person receives it from the heart, a channel opens, and that's where the divine does the miracles. Miracles exist, my friends.
That's such an important point, and I want to just circle back before we wrap it all up to surrender. One of the things that I learned in my own healing journey is the importance of surrendering, and it came down to a tale about white water rapids, right? And like, I use this as an example because it's very visual. If you fall into the water in white water rapids and you are trying to fight the current, you will drown.
Yeah.
Surrendering is being able to just stop fighting the current.
Yeah.
And we don't have to love the current. We don't have to want it there. But when we stop fighting it and we are able to surrender, it's so much happens as a result of that. And then that too goes back to what you're saying about receiving. A lot of times when we've been through emotional pain or trauma, it's very hard for us to receive. Mm-hmm. I couldn't even ask, you know what I mean? To receive, especially, like, now I'm wondering, what are your motives? Like, why are you coming here? And again, when I learned to receive and just realize, like, there is so much available to me if I am open to it. So as we wrap it all up, I just want to just say your story is very powerful, and you mentioned so many important things that if the audience, you know, takes the time to really consider, you've given them the key to move towards miracles instead of fighting the current of stress and pain and anxiety and all of the other things that tend to keep us stuck in survival mode. So, Georges, I have really enjoyed this conversation. Tell us a little bit more about how we can connect with you online.
Yeah, I'm in the process of changing my website, but you can write me a message at georges@isyourhealth.com, or you can go to www.isyourhealth.com. And if you want to have a clarity call, complimentary, you could actually, over there's a place where you can schedule and we can talk for a while. If you're going, whether you're going to disease, through disease, or you would like to prevent, or you are a caregiver that feels frustrated because people forget about the caregivers. And I would like to end up telling you two things. First of all, be realistic. Expect miracles. Miracles happen all the time. They're happening right now in front of us. It doesn't have to be a traumatic miracle like we were talking about with experiences of Leticia or mine. Obviously, those are very important, but miracles happen all the time. People are spending trillions of dollars trying to find a rose or something alive in Mars, and here we just go by and don't even see it or step on them. That's a miracle. You seeing a floor coming up, or a little worm becoming a butterfly. And the last thing that is very important, because we all have the power within, no one, my friends, will believe in you until you believe in you. Yeah.
That's an important one. You have to believe in yourself. Georges, thank you so much for your time on Survival Man Disrupted. I really appreciate you sharing your story. And audience, make sure you connect with him. His information will be in the show notes. And I just want to remind you, you were not built to break, but you damn sure were not built to just survive. Disrupt the cycle, reclaim your life, and thrive on your own terms. And I will see you next week. Once again, thank you for joining another episode of Survival Mode Disrupted, hosted by the Survival Mode Disruptor, Letitia. You didn't land here by accident. This conversation, it probably cracks something open on purpose. Because survival mode isn't just a phase, it's a pattern, an identity, a prison masked as strength. But here's the truth. You're not broken. You're just unfinished. So if something stirred in you today, don't ignore it. Don't numb it. Move with it. And I want to once again invite you to join Disrupting Survival Mode, the Facebook community where healing is loud and messy and real. I also want to invite you to buy my book, The Survival Mode Exit Plan, because your breakthrough deserves a blueprint. And if you felt seen today, be sure to share this episode with someone who needs to hear it. Like, subscribe, and drop a review. That's how we amplify the voices that need to be heard. And remember, this isn't about fixing yourself. This is about finding yourself again beneath the rubble. Until next time, choose ease, choose power, choose you. This is Survival Mode Disrupted. Let's keep shaking shit up.